morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you may be listening to this. Welcome back to another episode of the Nobody's Perfect podcast. I'm your host, Deja Lewis, and I'm so grateful that you are tuning in to this week's episode. We're going to kick it off with the affirmation of the month, and the affirmation for March is... Hold, please, because I actually don't have my notes. Honestly, before we get into the affirmation, I have recorded this episode already and I deleted it. So this is me trying to keep my composure currently because anyway, moving forward, the affirmation for this month of March is I love and accept myself unconditionally. Now, this affirmation comes with a backstory that we are going to dive into in next weekend's episode, because next weekend's episode is going to be a bit of a serious conversation, and my intent isn't to hurt anybody, but it is more of a, I don't even want to call it a social experiment. My goal with this is just a little preview. I got the opportunity to start doing TikTok lives, and I was met with racism, negativity, just things like that, and it being pushed that that is the normalization, that is the standard for the internet, and I'm not okay with that. I don't get down with that. And so what I really like about TikTok live is it actually saves like a transcript of all the comments, who commented it. So I have names. TikTok handles. I'm curious to see if it was broadcasted worldwide, the things that you said, would you be able to deal with the negative feedback coming back at you? You know, since like, and it's very easy behind a computer screen, a keyboard, to be nasty and hateful because you feel as if though you've gotten away with it, essentially. And I'm here to tell you that that is just not the case. And so I have names, TikTok handles, whatever it is that was in your bio, like just a little example, a little snippet. There's a woman on the TikTok community. Her name is Shelby. She goes by Shelby. Single mother of two, very big Trump supporter, came into my live, hit me with a hard ER 5 times. Why, like, anyway. So, Shelby being the first example, that's kind of what it's going to look like. I want to see how are you going to be able to fare with being in the public eye. And you, to be fair, you guys have put yourself out there on, you know, like you commented it for the internet to see and whoever was in the live saw it. And now the whole world is going to know about it. Because you feel safe, you feel protected behind a keyboard. And I'm here to tell you that that protection is up, it's done. And I'm terribly sorry because I'm not gonna sit here and normalize that shit on the internet. I'm not, it's not gonna happen, it's not gonna fly with me. That's not what I'm about. It's not what I've grown to be about. And we're gonna get into that into today's episode. But yeah, it's not what I'm about. I'm not here for that. I don't condone that behavior. I mean, just right off the bat with racism, right off the bat with attacking how I look. And attacking how I look is absolutely wicked, okay? I find it a little bit ludicrous. You can't make somebody that feels as good about themselves as I do feel insecure. And what I love about it is my security, my confidence isn't entirely surrounded by my beauty. It's mainly coming from who I am as a person, who I am trying to be as a person, you know? So the trying to drag people out of their character with the negativity is not it for me. And so just to make it clear that it is not happening on any of my social media platforms, I will be making those people very known, very known. Okay. Your names, your TikTok handles, you put yourself out there to begin with. I'm just putting the nail in the coffin. Anyway, getting in to, let's move into the next segment, the pit and peak of the week. My peak of the week was Monday. I went to the Tyler, the Creator show, and I had so much fun. Oh my goodness. Tyler's stage performance, his stage presence is immaculate. Little Yachty's vibe, immaculate. Paris, Texas, or Paris, French, and I feel so bad if that's wrong. I've never listened to their music before, honestly. But that experience turned me into a fan instantly. Their stage presence was top tier, immaculate. Oh my gosh, they had so much fun. They had so much fun. Like, that's something I really enjoy. Witnessing people enjoy moments. I love that. But yeah, that was my peak of the week, getting to experience Tyler, the Creator live, listen to the music live. Now my pit of the week also surrounds the Tyler, the Creator concert. I'm going to start by saying I was very ignorant to the fact that Tyler's fan base was dominantly white. And so you can imagine the culture shock to walk into the pit and, or not even walk into the pit, to like get in line for the entrance. I did this night sober. Like, I wanted to be as in tune with my surroundings as possible. This was my first concert I've gone to by myself. I'm an avid concert goer. I love a good music festival, but this is the first one I've trucked solo. So you can imagine the culture shock for me personally, being a brown person being a minority surrounded by the majority, and for the majority to be entitled, disrespectful, rude, pushy, the pushing and the shoving to the front, to just stand there and bop your head occasionally off beats and just stand there and record. Like, no, I'm here to vibe, dance, get down, do my doggy. And you, like, you're here, and it feels like you're just here to say that you went, and it bare hand strangled the vibe out of the room. Like, I'm here to vibe, I'm here to have fun, I'm here to dance, I'm here, you know, to shout lyrics at the top of my fucking lungs. But I'm getting odd looks, until the fact that I'm being made to feel uncomfortable. And it's odd because I am the minority in a very vast majority, and the vast majority is suffocating the shit out of the vibe. And to make it even worse, you're pushing and shoving to the front. And to make it even worse, they're all gigantic. My goodness, tall mountains just standing there doing nothing but killing the vibe. I didn't, like, that was for sure my pick, because it was just a shock. Something else I want to touch on, the moshing, something that I've never experienced. Was it a negative experience? No. It was just, I could clearly tell that that is where the energy comes from in Tyler's setting. Like, that is how the crowd gets down. Is it how I get down? No. But I was there, right? So I'm not gonna knock that shit till I try it. Was it for me? No. Did I try to participate? Yes. I wore heels. When I tell you, the first time I tried to jump, oh, what a humbling experience. Okay. I was like, oh, my feet actually never left the ground. My knees bent, and that was it. But there was nothing negative about the moshing. Was it a little inconsiderate that people, that non-mosh participants, were feeling the effects of that energy force? Of course. But, like, just stay out of the way and call it a day, you know? That's all that was for me. But yeah, it was a little disappointing to go and vibe, and in my head, to go and vibe with people that look like me, and to show up and not really get that experience, and then to have the experience be killed. I mean, just absolutely bare hand strangled from the pit. It was just not personally the experience I paid for, but I made the most of it. I got my money's worth, okay? I had fun. Did I leave early? 100%. That's always going to be me, though. I'm always going to be the girl that leaves the party early. I don't like the rush of crowds. I want to be able to leave peacefully. You know, I want to buy my hot dog in peace. I want to get on the train in peace. I want to have a seat, you know? So I left early. The song I walked out to was They thought I was dead. Okay. And let me tell you, that was the perfect song to strut my shit right out of there. I felt amazing through the roof. And I'm glad I didn't stay for Balloon. I made a TikTok video about this. Sorry this is going so long. We haven't even gotten into our next segment. I made a video about this on TikTok. It kind of, I'm not even going to say blew up. Like, the amount of, it was a significant amount of views. And I feel like that is the video that gave me the opportunity to go live. And there was obviously mixed emotions and people, you know, every now and then I got the occasional racist accusation. I'm sorry if my observation offended you. It was a fact that the concert was dominantly white. It was a fact that I was being pushed around dominantly by white males. Like twice, three times my size. I'm 5'5". I thought I was being clever wearing heels, okay? And I'm very religious to my kitten heel collection, okay? I feel like my feet are basically molded to them. Although, that time I tried to jump, humbling as hell, dude. But yeah, like, I thought I was being clever wearing those heels. It didn't make nary a difference. Here's the thing, like, if you want to be in the front at a concert and there also just so happens to be moshing, you see people running one way to the mosh pit, you better be taken off in the other direction to get right where you need to be. Strategize. Be strategic. You see an open space, you move yourself into that open space. Don't push somebody. There's no reason to be physically attempting to move somebody out of the way. And not once did I think to myself, man, I really wish this minority would stop trying to physically move me. I think I saw a black girl once, and then I saw somebody that I recognized in the pit. And it was a wild experience because I didn't even clock, like, we made eye contact, but it took my brain It took my brain a minute to register who he was. Waved hi, hello, you know, hey, how are you? How have you been? But yeah, it looked like he had a great time, okay? I wanted to have the time that he was having, all right? He was getting down. That's how I wanted to get down. But yeah, it was just, that was my pit, you know? And again, really sorry if I offended everybody with, or anybody, not everybody, because the majority agreed with me, all right? That's just because it was a fact. It's what it was. I wasn't, you know, sorry. It was an observation. There was no issue that the concert was majority white. The issue was, is that the majority killed the vibe. The majority was rude. The majority was entitled. The majority was pushy, shoving. And to push and shove just to kill the vibe, and the screaming during what was meant to be a moment of silence, the moshing during what was meant to be a moment of silence, yelling at Tyler, yelling at Little Lottie, yelling at Little Yachty. I'm like, it was wild to be that close to an artist and see them, like, obviously, like, get a little annoyed. Like, just shut the fuck up and enjoy the show. Don't be rude. You know what I'm talking about? To pay money to be disrespectful is wild. To pay money to troll an artist is wild. To pay money to go to a concert just for the sake of being able to say, oh yeah, I went, wild. Wild. I was ignorant to the facts that his fan base is majority white. Not an issue. The issue was, I personally, Where the fuck were the fans? If that is the case, where were the fans? Because they weren't at the show. They weren't in the pit. I don't think so. Personally, the fans were getting manhandled, okay, by people that just wanted to stand there and record. That's not what you buy pit tickets for. I'm sorry. You buy pit tickets to mosh, dance, vibe, scream each lyric from the depths of your soul. And so to not have that experience and to have paid money and experienced something completely different was just a bit of, you know, it wasn't it wasn't the greatest, but I still made it the very best time. Like, I had fun. I went by myself. Like, I don't know. And I appreciate all the people that said they saw me. And if you ever see me at another show, come say hi. I know, as somebody said, commented, I saw you. Your face card is lethal. Trust me, I know I have really bad RBF. I think I mentioned it in my first episode. I've got bad RBF. Just come say hi. I swear, the second you get me talking, I'm the sweetest. I think I did that in my first episode too. I am the sweetest, dare I say, funniest person you're going to encounter. I want to vibe. I want to have a good time. Okay? Don't let the RBF fool you. I know the face card is deadly, but mama, she's never going to decline. All right. Just come say hi. Come vibe. I want everybody to have a good experience. I want to leave people feeling good. But yeah, we're going to quickly touch on trends. We're going to put a pin in that segment and move into our next one. I would say this week for me, Beauty in Black coming out a few days ago, I think it was the 6th. My cousin and I, we took 2 days, finished it. It's one of those shows where it's like, wow, this is so horrible. It's actually good. Like, it's juicy. It keeps you on your toes. I enjoy that. I enjoyed it. It was so good. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. My second thing is I have tried a new lip gloss that I haven't tried before. I wouldn't say it's new. I'm sure it's been around. It's just new to me. The Patrick Ta Maximizing Volume Lip Gloss. I have it in 2 cc's. Take all my money. Take all my money right now. What I will say is a little bit bothersome is he had recently come out with a limited edition, 2 limited edition colors. And they're, to me personally, colors that I feel like would do numbers. I want it so bad. I need it so bad. Main Stage specifically. It's like this blackberry, like pinkish toned color. I think it would look beautiful on my skin tone. And so the fact that it's limited edition is a little bit disappointing, because you would have my entire life's work on that lip gloss. I'm hearing noise coming from the hallway. So hopefully that's not getting picked up. And if it is, we're rolling with it. There's just nothing that I can do about it. But yeah, I would say that those are my trends. That's not much, but that's what I've been really into as of late. Something that I do want to try is I want to go smell the Noise perfumes. There's one. It's not Unmute. I know Unmute is a really popular one, and I can't think of the name. I'm sure it's in one of my various notebooks, but that's something I've also been really wanting to try. Or, yes, I also is the correct word, because I'm talking about a lip gloss that I haven't tried yet. And I think it would, and what is a little bit, you know, for me is, it's always like when I look it up, like the fact that I have to put in the search engine how something looks on someone with my skin tone, it's exhausting. And why is it so hard to find? Why are the people with my skin tone not getting sent the fucking PR package? You know what I mean? It's obnoxious. I don't need to see how it looks like on, you know, like it's an overwhelming presence, and it's very clear the demographic of the, you know, like, why are all the, like, that would be such a beautiful color on a brown girl, a brown person. Oh, and the fact that I have to like do the most to find it, to locate what it looks like on somebody with my skin tone, is incredibly frustrating to me. Anyway, I would love to try it. I know that I would love it. I'm sure it's a beautiful color. It looks beautiful on all of the women that I've seen it on as of, recent, since it's been out. I think it's so beautiful. I have to have it. And the fact that it's a limited time thing, product, I think is a little wild, because I wholeheartedly believe specifically the Main Stage would do numbers. And I hope that I'm not confusing the two lip glosses that comes in the set, but it's the purpley, that dark colored one. Oh my gosh, it would do numbers. I believe that with my whole soul. Putting a pin in the trends, we've gone through our segments. The last, if you, I should have mentioned in the beginning, But if you didn't want to listen, you could have fast forwarded. I will put it in the description what time, the timestamp that the segments end. Getting into today's episode is, stroke. Trying my best. I have to burp too. It'll come out whenever it's ready, I guess. I feel it back there, building up. As you've read the title for today's video, where have I been? Where have I been at? Why have I been gone? Why have I not been keeping up with the podcast? So, 3 years ago, I lost a lot of people back to back. Those still alive, those that have passed. It was incredibly overwhelming, and I never dealt with the grief. And rolling up on the third year, it became abundantly clear that I cannot continue just keeping myself busy every year around this time of the year and ignore the grief. Like, this was the first year where I finally accepted, okay, we have to deal with this. We have to process this, because the things I couldn't continue to live the way that I was living, and to do it annually is incredibly discouraging. And so I was finally threw in the towel and said, okay, we're doing this. My process with it was allowing myself, one, to feel the grief. And so I noticed right after I uploaded that first episode, it started to set in. I would say mid to late January, I was in my bed. I didn't leave my room unless I needed to shower. I didn't eat. I rarely drank water. Like, unless it wasn't a hygienic purpose or to use the bathroom, I was not leaving my bedroom. I wasn't talking to anybody. I would turn my phone off and just ignore the world. And if my phone was on, it was for keeping up with whatever social media presence that I had on TikTok. If you know me, you know I don't care for Instagram. It's just such a boring app, in my opinion. It's way too much work to build your algorithm. And the second you click on something, I know that is going to be picked up, and I have to do something about the squeaky doors. I have to. It makes my head want to explode every time I hear that. Very much so obnoxious. I've got to do something about it. Anyway, it just caused me to lose my train of thought. But yeah, I wasn't, to circle back, it'll come back to me. I just had to deal with my grief, okay? And I wasn't dealing with it. I allowed myself to just sit in it in the beginning, you know, feel, and I don't know about anybody else, but when you feel intense sadness, it courses through my veins. Like, I feel it physically. It hurts me physically. And it's not like extreme, unbearable pain, but it's like, holy shit, like I feel my sadness running through my body. And it's wild. Like, I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but it, and that's the only way I can describe it. It courses through my veins. It's crazy. I don't know. But this year I was like, okay, we are no longer doing the keep yourself busy route. The first year, or I guess when everything went down, what really put the nail in the coffin for me was my great-grandmother's service. Now, if you don't know, my great-grandmother and I was born on her birthday. We've always had a very special and unique relationship outside of her other grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I mean, everybody had a significant relationship with Granny. Very significant. She was just the light of everybody's life. And even in moments where she was, you know, Granny, we all still loved her. And like, she was just a person that, she was the type of person you, like, how could you not love her? You know what I mean? And after her service, I mean, she passed, and then I didn't, the grief just hadn't hit me until her service. And the week that we had got home, we being my boyfriend at the time, we lived together. When we got home, the first week, I was fine. I was keeping myself busy. I shouldn't say I was fine. I was overcompensating with keeping myself busy instead of dealing with the grief. And after that, I mean, I went on a whole make everything from scratch kick, from peanut butter to garlic confit to bread. I was juicing oranges, like just the most of anything that I could do to not have to accept the reality that she was gone and wasn't coming back. Getting a little choked up here. And yeah, so I had, again, kept myself busy. We had gotten home. And after that first week, I started to lose it. And when I say lose it, I mean, it just the same annual thing. I laid in bed. I didn't take care of myself. I wasn't eating. I wasn't drinking water. I wasn't getting up unless it was for hygienic purposes or to use the bathroom. And it was bad. And my boyfriend at the time, I started to feel him pull away. And it was because he also just didn't know how to help me. I put so much blame on him at the time. And I was wrong for it, because how would he know how to help me if I was so unaware of how to help myself? You know what I mean? I put way too much of that pressure on him. And mind you, like, his side of things was, it got to the point where we weren't talking. He wasn't talking to me. We lived together at the time, mind you. Not even at the time. When we were together, we lived together. He wouldn't talk to me for days, not even for days, for like hours out of the day. We would go hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, damn near the whole day without a word. I was just in bed grieving, and it was horrible. And it got to the point where I was nitpicking and just being nasty, and all of my negative emotions I was taking out on him. And it wound up resulting in the end of our relationship. Fast forward to now, I'm able to recognize I was treating him how I was treating myself, and that wasn't okay. And then to make it, oh my gosh, I was just a train wreck at that time. Anyway, so he ends the relationship in the midst of a heated argument, and I wind up slipping into such a dark state. I wind up being put in a mental hospital, and where I stayed for a week. And thank God for that experience. Honestly, was it awful in the moment? 100% to experience withdrawals from a person, and at that point in time, now it's two people and a dog. Like, Maverick is a very sore subject for me. He's never not going to be a sore subject for me. I'm able to move on from the people losses, but I feel like grieving a pet is very different. Grieving a person that's still alive is very different. You know, I feel like I've just now gotten over that relationship, because it's really hard to lose somebody that you genuinely pictured yourself spending the rest of your life with, right? Like, especially when they are your best friend, they know you in and out. Like, that was very hard for me. The withdrawals I experienced, horrible. With experience, and just to add on top of the loss that I was experiencing already at that time, wicked. Sorry if you heard my clap. It's a habit that I'm trying to fight all the time when I'm recording a freaking podcast. But yeah, it was a catastrophic time that now I can be grateful for, because if none of that stuff happened, and this is the part where, you know, I fast forward obviously to now, this is what helped me work through my grief, where just being able to accept the facts, everything that went down at that time of my life happened for a reason, and it happened for my greatest good. If I didn't slip into that dark state and he never broke up with me, I would have never been or found out that I was bipolar. One, around that time, I was diagnosed with bipolar depression, got medicated for it. None of that would have happened. And I, like, that was so, to look back now, everything was just so incredibly necessary because the direction that my life was going in was incredibly dark. It was, it goes beyond a catastrophe. And I had pretty much always been that way. And I, I never liked that about myself. From a young age, I always knew that I was different. I was always very aware that I was the black sheep of my family. Just an incredibly negative energy, negative presence, aggressive. Just, I wasn't the greatest person in my youth, you know? At the age of 12, I realized, like, I'm experiencing and having thoughts that my peers just aren't relating to. So something is wrong with me and I need to do something about it. And that level of self-awareness at that age is probably my proudest moment to this day, to be that young and say something with me in the head is not right. And I cannot continue to live this way. And that's kind of what started my self-improvement journey, and starting it so young and still having really drastic high highs and low lows and not really having all of the tools needed to navigate it. And on top of that, I'm surrounded by people that didn't see it. And like looking back on my childhood and all of the adults where it's just like, how could you not have seen it, you know? And having to navigate moving past that, where it's like putting a pin in that, honestly. But yeah, it was in my youth, I was terrible. I was honestly, I would go as far to say, like, I was genuinely not a good person. I was not a good person, and I was not somebody that I was proud of whatsoever. Do I still have sympathy and empathy for everything that that version of myself went through? 100%, but it does not make my actions, my how I treated people acceptable by any means. And to be older now and in a place to see, like, wow, like, I just needed help, like, dramatically. In my teen years, it was probably the worst, honestly, where I had so much built up rage and anger. And to, I mentioned it, I'm actually not sure if I mentioned it in my first episode, but I'm the oldest daughter of, there's three of us total, but I have another sister. She lives in Texas, or wherever she is now. I don't know. Her mom is a piece of work. And anyway, moving forward, I'm the oldest daughter. It came with a lot of responsibilities. I obviously had a lot of reservations growing up with being, I felt like I grew up too fast. And what's wild was to see all the adults in my life kind of wonder why that happened, how that happened. I was taking care of kids that were mine. And then once I hit my teen years, I really just didn't give a fuck. I started rebelling. Especially in my freshman year, I was being accused by my family of doing all types of things that I just really wasn't doing. And so by my sophomore year, I was like, fuck it. Like, if I'm being accused of drinking and smoking, what the fuck am I doing not doing it? Like, was that the mentality to have? No. I was extremely underdeveloped in the head. Like, that's just what it was. I was like, if I'm being accused of all this shit, fuck it. I'm gonna do it. Yeah, you better believe I'm gonna go to the party. You better believe I'm gonna take that shot. You better believe I'm gonna spark up that joint. And it just became incredibly unhealthy. And it added to the rage, personally. And I feel like my biggest regret with that time of my life, my teen years, was honestly, I would say it revolves around my sisters. I don't have much of a relationship with them because of how I was when I was a teen. I resented them I was incredibly jealous and envious of the fact that they were getting a version of my mother that I always wanted. And getting older, I had to recognize that as I was growing up, my mom was growing up as well. And so being able to now give her that grace and be as old as I am and recognize the fact that she was still learning at the same time I was learning. And so to have taken all of that anger and aggression out on her and my sisters, and then eventually just moving out because I felt like I couldn't deal with it anymore, was probably one of my bigger regrets, not being there for them and being able to have a relationship with them. So yeah, that is that. But fast forward to, we've covered the mental hospital, we've covered the bipolar. Yeah, so now that I'm older and we're 3 years later past all of the domino effect of losing my great-grandmother, losing what I thought was the love of my life, and then losing my dog on top of it. And I feel like Maverick is never something it's never something that I think I'm ever gonna be able to get over or work through. We're gonna put a pin in that and never circle back to it because, as I said, it's still a very sensitive topic. Oh my gosh, I forgot I sent it to Jermaine. Oh my gosh, the guy that edits my podcast or adds the, he produced my intro jingle and adds it to the recordings that I make. I deleted my original one by mistake, just deleting all of the ones and trying to keep track. Anyway, I forgot I sent it to him, so I didn't even need to do this, but I'm actually kind of glad that I did because I feel like I'm vibing with this one a lot more than I was my original one. I feel like it's coming across a lot better and a lot more clearer than the first one. The first one was just a bit jumbled, but I feel like my thoughts are now very together. This is not one that I have notes for, just because I wanted it to all be more fluid, and I still go off on tangents without my talking points. That's what I've noticed this episode, not having talking points, and just letting it flow. Anyway, circling back. It's just so funny that I thought about that. I heard his voice in the hallway and I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't need to do that. But we did, and we're here, and I'm loving it. So yeah, it was just, yeah, we're not gonna touch on Maverick any further because I don't think that's ever something I'm gonna let go of personally. Who knows, maybe one day I will, but it's just not, it's not something I realistically see happening. Like, that dog was the light of my life. I loved, raised, trained, purchased. I mean, if you're a Great Dane, if you're a Great Dane owner, if you've ever had one, they are just the best dogs. And if you've never had one, give it a whirl. I mean, they are intelligent, sweet, a little bit on the lazy side, but when they are high energy, you're gonna have a blast. They're just the best dogs. And I, in my future, I definitely will have another Great Dane. But anyway, we're moving forward from that because I'm tearing up and I will start to bawl. But yeah, I feel like accepting the fact that everything that happened happened for a reason and my greatest good helped me start to move forward with the grief process. And I'm feeling a lot better and I'm happy to be back and keep the ball rolling. But yeah, I really needed to take that time for myself and just be able to process. The first, yeah, and then after the breakup, dude, my gosh, something about that will just make you want to get hobbies. I started a garden from scratch, no prior knowledge, okay? Let me just, this is how I, and I'm not going to say it was a bad thing how I went or navigated the grief of the relationship aspect, because grieving somebody that's still alive is so different than grieving somebody that just isn't here anymore, you know? Like, he's just still out in the world doing his thing, living his life apart from me, you know? Anyway, my process for that was I gardened to coddle the pain, essentially. That's how I said I was releasing the pain. Like, I dug the ground up myself. My body was sore. I mean, for days, just hacking away at the ground, digging, digging, digging. I built the bed from scratch. I germinated all my plants, you know, into seedlings, and then eventually their adult form, where they would start producing a bountiful harvest for me, you know? And I will say gardening is a very healing thing. It's a great place to pour your emotions and give your love and nurturing attention to something that is also going to eventually, in a way, reciprocate that with, you know, produce. That's just how I saw it. But I gardened to release the pain. I guess that's what we'll call it, because that's what I called it then. I painted to express the pain, and I would knit to quiet the pain, because when you're knitting, let me tell you, there's nothing that you could focus on outside of knitting. Me personally, the second I look away from those needles, cooked, fried, okay? But yeah, that was my process then, and I thought keeping myself busy was just going to be the way to go about it without actually having to address everything that I experienced, you know? But yeah, that's kind of been, you know, why I've been gone and what I've been doing with the time that I've been gone. And like I said, I'm feeling much better. I'm grateful that I gave myself the opportunity this year to manage it, deal with it, face it, you know, and not just ignore it, sweep it under the rug like I had been doing in previous years. Because I was just repeating the same cycle over and over again, grieving for weeks in bed, and then deciding, okay, instead of dealing with the grief and acknowledging the facts that this is why I'm experiencing the heavy, depressive episodes, I would throw myself into a passion project, hence starting the podcast. That was meant to be my distraction, and it actually wasn't distracting me. Each episode I tried to record, my voice was shaky, I'm crying, I'm on the verge of tears. Like, it just wasn't personally what I wanted to put out into the world. And so I decided to just give myself a break and sit down and focus on getting myself right again. But I feel like I'm just about there, ready to be back, happy to be back. I'm very excited for next week's episode, as I mentioned. It's going to be a doozy. And again, my intention with it isn't to hurt anybody. I just really wanted to put it into perspective that just because it's the internet and you're saying these nasty or bizarre, wild things behind a keyboard doesn't mean that you're not going to have consequences. And the fact that nobody's thought to do this sooner, I guess it could be like, oh, you're just invoking that pain on somebody else. But sometimes, like, specifically being in alive, and I will touch more on this in the next episode, specifically being in alive and facing so much judgment and racism and people coming after how I look, like, it was wild. And if I wasn't as strong as I am, like, I would have lost my shit. But you have to be aware of your social media presence. And I'm personally more aware of how I want to be perceived by people. And I want to leave people feeling good and happy and positive I want to be a positive light, you know? But yeah, I really wanted to put it into perspective that just because you're behind and feeling brave and confident behind a keyboard does not mean that you're safe, essentially. Like, you feel comfortable doing those things because you feel that there's no consequences that are going to arise from it. But what I'm most curious to know is, how would you fare if somebody knew the things that you said and now you're having to face the negative consequences of that, right? Like, how would that make you feel? Would you be strong enough to manage that, the overwhelming amount of negativity? And I would bet that the answer is no. You know what I mean? Because and especially when somebody would say something very specific about my looks, you just let me know exactly what you're insecure about within yourself. And that's how I see that. That's how D sees it. Let me hear another door squeak. Don't let me hear another door squeak. I need to get the WD-40 on these hinges because it makes me a little bit unhinged. Oh, it just makes me want to rip the whole door off the hinge. Like, now nobody gets a fucking door. Ugh. But yeah, it's these little things like that where it's like, or like earlier today, they were cleaning. And it's just things like this that I'm really grateful to be at a point now where I can recognize about myself and stop myself from really ripping into other people for it. Again, I'm not perfect at it. I'm still finding the ebbs and flow of it, of just wanting to be a better person and, again, leave people feeling good. Just for example, they were cleaning on a Saturday. And in my mind, I'm going, who the fuck cleans on a Saturday? In my mind, Sunday is always the day for a reset. Why am I hearing cleaning noises on a Saturday? Saturday is for the turnout. Where's the music? Why am I hearing the vacuum? And then I had to, you know, like, stop and assess and be like, actually, Deja, shut the fuck up and sit the fuck down. Is it really inconveniencing you to the point where, you know, you're getting so worked up about it? No, relax. Shut up and relax. It's not that big of a deal. If people want to clean on Saturday, let them clean on a Saturday. Maybe it annoys them that you're cleaning and vacuuming on a Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, just chill. And so, yeah, I'm really grateful to be at a point where I'm able to recognize and also hold myself accountable in those areas of my life. I'm not perfect at it. You know, my bipolar still has its flare-ups, and that's just what it is. You know, I feel like maybe I will make an episode revolving mental health and mental illness and what it was like for me to navigate that experience and go into a little bit more detail surrounding that. But that is pretty much today's episode. Really grateful for you if you tuned in, and I hope everybody has a really great week. And remember, nobody's perfect.